that's a big header. Welcome and introductions. So let's start with board members. Lisa, do you have the board roster in front of you to call the roll?
Yes, I do.
You do? Okay. So I think what we can do is I'll just have you announce the name, and then the person can state whether they are that they are present and say what their affiliation is to the board. And then once we're done with board members, we can go on to BSB staff, and then following BSB staff, any members of the public who wish to introduce themselves will have the opportunity to do so. So let's get started with board members.
Astrid Fernpool, the designee for Andrea Barton Reeves. Alan Sylvester.
Not present?
Not present.
Okay.
Eileen Akers. Eileen Akers. Not present. Andrea Judas. Catherine Guzman. Samuel Pride. Elizabeth Rival.
Oh, Beth Rival has written to me and said she would not be able to attend today and wishes us all happy holidays.
Mary Silverberg.
Here.
And Stephen Thal. Okay, that's what I have for the board members.
Okay.
Eileen Akers is here.
Oh, very good.
Okay, thank you.
I had trouble getting in with the conference ID, but here I am.
Okay, great. Excellent.
I'm not sure if we have a quorum.
We do not have a quorum, I can tell you that right now. Out of the eight members who we have, I believe it's eight members that we have three present. So we are perfectly free to have all the discussion we want. However, the board is not able to take any action. So, and just by way of introduction, this is Al Sylvester. I am with the State Department of Labor. I am also the chair of the advisory board for persons who are blind or visually impaired. Okay, so public comments. That's a good start. Any others?
Sounds good.
Any members of the public who wish to speak?
Hi, I just wanted to introduce myself. For those of you that I have not had a chance to connect with yet, my name is Michaela Zito, and I act as the Connecticut ambassador for the Usher Syndrome Coalition. And I was lucky enough to be able to attend the Low Vision Day back in October, held at BSB, where I met the majority of you. And so I just am, you know, here to listen in and see what's going on in the state and different ways that I can support those that reach out to me and connect them with the proper resources. So looking forward to listening in and learning more. Thank you.
Any others?
Yes.
My
name's Wendy Lusk, and I'm the executive director for the Center of the Blind in New London. And we're a guest today. I also have with me Tammy Parody.
Very good.
Someone else.
Phil McGownick is here.
Background, which is
Phil McGownick, per invitation, chairman of the SRC. Present.
Thank you, Phil. Welcome, everyone. With my apologies, I need to go back to the first item, because we got through the board introductions, but we haven't done staff introductions. So let's start with Carol, and then we'll go down the line on staff who are present.
I am here.
Catherine Sam.
I'm Real Sampson, program supervisor of the Business Enterprise Program, present.
Oh, wow.
Burgard, Vocational Rehabilitation Supervisor, present.
Morning, this is Wendy.
Catherine Sum, Children's Services Program Supervisor, present.
Lisa Drew.
I'm from Vespi. I am here taking minutes, and I am present.
Lisa Drew, the Administrative and Assistance for Vespi, present.
Lisa, could you, I think you're the host, could you mute everyone?
Yes, thank you.
I'm hearing a lot of background noise.
It's a lot of back chatter, yeah.
I wonder if people are not muting when they're not speaking.
Yeah, I would ask you that if you're not speaking, please mute your microphone. If you're on the phone, it is star six.
Lisa, do you want me to do it? I'm able to mute everybody if you want. I'll go ahead and do that if you guys
want me to.
Okay.
Okay. And just make sure you unmute yourself when you're talking.
Yes.
Everybody should be muted except for Lisa, the organizer.
Oh, there we go. Mary, your turn to introduce yourself.
Oh, Mary Burgard, yeah, program supervisor.
She's
at rehab.
Very good, thank you. Okay, any members of the public who wish to introduce themselves? We heard from Phil, Wendy, Tammy, and Michaela. Anybody else? Oh, sorry, Jen. Jen Proto.
Hi, Jen.
Member.
Jen Proto, Legislative Liaison at ADS.
Thank you, Jen. Any other staff members?
All right, board member.
Hey, Sam. Two more members and we'll have a quorum. Any other members who just arrived or have arrived within the last 2 minutes? Okay, hearing none. It sounds as if we're free to carry on. All right, I am going to... Okay, public comments. I have a request, and I would also like to make this comment anyway as a matter of course, but it has been about a year since one of our esteemed colleagues, Steve Familietti, sadly passed away in a car crash, and there's some who asked that we hold a moment of silence in his memory, and I just wanted to add that his passing is another example of how much work we have left to do to make our public spaces safer, particularly our city streets, because Steve and his companion were walking along a city street when they were struck by a car. And, you know, they, like everyone else, especially in cities where there are lots of people and there are few opportunities to get outdoors, if you want to walk, you should be able to walk and feel safe about it. And that was not the case for Steve and his companion. I will also say that the justice system has done its work, and the person responsible for the crash has had a measure of justice meted out to him. And we can just leave it at that. But I think what we'd like to do is put the spotlight on Steve and just think for a moment about, you know, how we miss him, and we will honor his memory. So with that, I'll give you several seconds to just reflect in silence. With that, I would like to ask if there are any other members of the public who wish to speak.
Steve, this is Eileen. Colleen Akers, if I may just comment as a follow-up to your remarks generally about pedestrian safety.
Sure.
I've talked to a couple of people who right now don't even feel safe with their guide dogs, that it's gotten so bad with drivers not adhering to rules, having nothing to do with people who are blind, just driving thoughtlessly. And so yes, we definitely need to do more work with regard to pedestrian safety.
I absolutely agree with you, Eileen. Thank you. Any others?
Yes, Al. Phil McGowan.
Yes. Go ahead, Phil.
Just briefly, I'd like to mention, since I'm a member of the Stanford Vision Zero Task Force, this has been a big issue in Connecticut. Last year, there were 96 pedestrian fatalities. 83% were alcohol-related, whether it be the driver or the pedestrian. I'd like to remind everyone to go to your local municipality, and if you do not have a Vision Zero Task Force, which is funded by the state, inquire to your mayor or first selectman or first selectwoman about initiating a Vision Zero project. It really looks into what's causing these big traffic fatalities and comes with strategies to combat them in the future. It's a long-term plan, but it's a good place to start.
Thank you for that, Phil. I will just remark that, incidentally, I happen to be in the middle of writing the annual report for the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Board for the state of Connecticut, and that is a point of emphasis for us, is the safety of vulnerable users and doing what we can to reduce the number of pedestrian deaths. And I'm fortunate to be a resident of West Hartford that happens to have a robust Vision Zero committee. And in addition to that, we are fortunate enough to have received a federal grant to install speed control cameras throughout town, and right now the town officials, together with the Vision Zero Committee, are deciding on 15 locations where those speed cameras will be placed. And it is a pilot program, and we're hoping to have some good results, and the hope is that it will spread further throughout the state. And it's just one of many measures that we are taking to ensure the safety of vulnerable users. So I would say to your friend Eileen that hold on to hope, because there are a lot of people working on this, and awareness of the topic is increasing by the day. And as we continue to gather momentum toward getting something done about this situation, I think the circumstances will continue to improve. Any others who wish to offer public comment? Hearing none, I see that Chris Lassen has arrived, BSB staff member. Thank you.
Mr. Samuel Pryor, board member.
Sam, go ahead.
I'm a member of the ADA committee here in Norwalk, and we are working with the city and other people, like DPW, as we put in new sidewalks and put up new signs where you can walk across the street. We're trying to get them to put the enable signs in where it beeps, where all the traffic can stop and people can cross the street safely, whether vision impaired or just regular vision. And we have been recognized by the state of Connecticut as being one of the towns that's really taking this stuff seriously.
Good. That's excellent. Thank you, Sam. And I also am a fan of the audible signal. As you can imagine, there are lots of busy streets here in West Hartford, and to have that signal is really a godsend in many places. Any others? Okay, with that, let's go on then. I'm going to skip over old business for the time being, which is the only item under that right now is the minutes for 21 September, and I'm going to wait to see if we have enough board members for a quorum, so we'll be able to approve the minutes. If not, then we'll have to postpone that until the next meeting. Our next item of business, proposed meeting. Oh, no, we did that. This is the September that I'm looking at. Let's go. Give me just a moment here while I go to the correct agenda. Here we are. Okay, so minutes from 21 September. Yeah, we've got that. New business. Work group reports. Blind American Equality Day, Blind Americans Equality Day work group debrief. Is Steve Thal with us? All right, it doesn't sound as if Steve is here. So let me just offer some brief remarks on that. On the whole, I think the event went very well. We've gotten some very good comments from people who attended and from those who had set up tables just outside the door. I think it was especially helpful to both clients and their families, as we have more of these events, they will gain more insight into what it means to navigate your journey of legal blindness and with that and with other disabilities. And I think the more we have these events, the better we're going to be, because it's a great way to spread the word about what he does, and it especially helps to illuminate the path for people who may feel isolated, because, you know, there are not that many of us in the general population. So to have us and our family and friends be made aware of how others are navigating their way through life, I think is very helpful to all of us. Is there anybody else who wanted to offer some comments on the debrief for the Blind Americans Equality Day? All right, hearing none, in anticipation that Steve Thal is going to be attending at some time, I'd like to reserve that item to possibly come back to it later on. Next, we have administrative items. Progress on filling vacant and anticipated positions. Carol, I will give you the floor on this one. In addition to the following item, report from the director.
All right. Thank you, Al. All right. I will start with staff vacancies. So we only have two vacancies that remain for positions that we're currently hiring for. One is the rehabilitation technology teacher position in our adult services program, and those interviews, I believe, were held just yesterday. So hopefully, relatively soon, there will be an announcement out of who that new hire will be. The other position is the secretary one position that Rhea Martin vacated because she got a promotion to our processing technician. And we are working on getting a list of applicants to schedule interviews. So hopefully very soon we will be fully staffed for all the positions that we're actively recruiting
Steven.
For. So that will be exciting.
I am reaching
it's
out
been
to you because
a long time, from what I've been told.
The meeting has started.
Has been fully staffed.
And
then moving on to
we were waiting for you to log in.
We are still working on what I call the phone call tree for the main BESB phone number.
I'll call you.
And
give
IT
me a moment.
And
thank
Abaya
you.
Are working on that. We are currently going to be adding in a Spanish option. And so we're waiting on instructions for how to have a couple of identified staff members do the actual recording of what the messages and options will say. So hopefully that will be, you know, in the new year, relatively soon, be up and running, and we can get some feedback on that. The large print calendars went out in November, and so far we've received a lot of positive feedback on the resources that were added to toward the back of the calendar. Many consumers have appreciated that those were there. This fall, CSAVR, which is the Council for State Administrators of Vocational Rehabilitation,
and NCSAB, which is the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind, those are a mouthful, they had their fall conference, and I don't know if Mary's going to talk about this in her report, but Mary Bergard, the VR supervisor, and I attended, and there were a few items that there were presentations on that I found extremely interesting. One was on DEIA, which is Disability, Equity, Inclusion, and Accessibility. It was very interesting and very intriguing. We then had a presentation on rapid engagement and getting a client who is referred for services through that application eligibility process, and then to the individualized plan for employment, you know, those time frames, because the thought being the quicker and more timely consumers are served and able to receive services, the more engaged and likely they are would be to stay, you know, for the life of their case. So I'm happy to report Connecticut Blind, we are at 100% for this. So we are meeting all of our requirements and expectations. So that is very exciting because most agencies are not doing so well. There was a 50th year anniversary presentation on the Rehab Act Amendment of 1973. And the ironic thing about this was there were issues in 1973 that we're still having today in areas such as civil rights, accessibility, and some other things. So, you know, some good work has been done, but there's still a long ways to go for some of those things. Branding was another presentation that I found highly interesting, and many agencies have been either getting a new logo or doing rebranding to kind of totally revamp their program outreach to get more consumers referred for VR services. And so that is something that VESB is working on. We have submitted for prior approval to RSA, which is the Rehabilitation Services Administration, for permission to spend funds in this area. Because we're not allowed to do it unless we get approval first. So we're still awaiting approval. But we would very much like to get a new logo and totally revamp our branding and program outreach and get a facelift, so to speak. Artificial intelligence, AI, it's a growing thing that's out there and it's becoming more and more popular. And the message that was given was that agencies need to be aware of it, but not necessarily avoid it, because, you know, consumers, employers, organizations, it's out there. More and more people are using it. And so we just need to be more proactive in how we're acknowledging those things. So no real suggestions were given for agencies or anything, but it was more putting it on the radar for us. I'm going to skip the performance measures because I don't want to steal Mary's thunder here. So I'm going to skip that. And then we just had the regular, our older blind reports, our vocational rehab reports, and our pre-employment transition services, and the typical reports and updates that we get from RSA. And there was not much there that was new at this point. Our VR, our annual state plan, which is for our VR program, we as an agency and as a state have to do a unified and combined state plan in Connecticut under the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. I'm sure most of you are aware of this, but the plan for 2024 through 2027 is due in January. To the Department of Labor, they have to have all of the agencies, the partners, all of their plans uploaded and submitted by March 4th. And this does go out for public comment. So once that happens from the Department of Labor, We will let you know so the public can go and make comments for the state plan. It is a very, very long document, and I am working, well, not quite yet, we'll be working with the SRC in a work group on reviewing our statewide needs assessment, which I just received the results this morning, and I have not had a chance to read it because it's quite lengthy. We use that information to help develop our state plan goals and things that we're going to work on for the next 4 years. We did do the 2023 Consumer Satisfaction Survey, and I'm going to just give a summary and my summary and what I took away from this survey. We did expand the survey population to include all closed case types, not just those that were employed, but for any closure reason, we did survey those consumers just for the program year for 2022, which goes from July 1 to June 30. So there were 180 consumers who were able to take the survey. Only 23 consumers completed it, and even of those 23 consumers, not all of them answered every question. And so this was a very low response rate, and that was with phone calls being made to try to get that response rate higher. And so it's the results of this are just on the edge of validity, because 15 to 17% is kind of the lowest you can go for validity, but the goal is to get at least 25% or higher response rate. So that was a little disappointing. So have to look at that and maybe for future years see what we can do to get a higher response rate. But some of the, I'm going to call it, middle to high satisfaction areas were personal care attendant services, small business venture services, staff professionalism and approachability, state general service provision, staff referrals to appropriate resources, and this was actually called enabling independence, and transportation services, low vision services, skills training services, rehabilitation technology and adaptive equipment services, and then higher education training. So those were the areas that received the higher ratings. The takeaways I got from this were some further exploration of providing skills training and rehabilitation technology and training to consumers when it is appropriate, just looking to that a little more. Providing some training for staff on the process of client rights and responsibilities and those conflict resolutions. What is the process? What does that look like? What are the steps? So that would be good. And then it was the communication between BESVI and consumers. And so we just need to really work on the continuation of making our forms accessible and getting them in to JOT forms to assist in having accessible forms and assist in that better communication. So that way we're not sending out as much printed material in the mail because we are a blind agency. And I mean, it's been a work in progress, but we don't have dedicated staff to just do that. So we work on those things as we have time. And the one note from the survey that CCSU, Central Connecticut State University, had mentioned to me, because I've met with them a couple of times now, had suggested to us to basically pay more money to be able to do, all phone surveys, and maybe not relying so heavily on just the electronic survey, because the response rate was so low, and so the validity was a concern. Moving on, BESVI is going